This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
We're live once again.
Live! Hello!
We're short live.
Short live. We're short lived?
Short light.
We're short-lived. I mean, lived, short-lived.
I don't know. I'm lit. I don't know.
Auspicious beginning.
Can we start this over?
Yes. No. Let's pretend that none of this ever happened.
Yes.
No one in the chat will tell on us and just go.
We'll just go. I don't think it's going to get any better, so who cares?
Poor Bruce has been working all day, guys.
I've been working all day. I am in Indianapolis, and I'm saying that because I don't live or work here. I'm working here today in Indianapolis, and I'm at the Alexander Hotel. If anybody in Indianapolis is listening or watching, just so you know, I'm at the Alexander. And I was doing I was at a hog roast.
So
we had a hog, H-O-G, a hog roast.
Okay.
And we had, it was like, the theme was bourbon, bacon, and fresh farm fixins.
That's why you wanted to headbang bacon.
That's
you didn't see
saying
that part, guys. It was before we were live.
Bacon.
Bacon.
By the way, can I just say, I want to introduce you before I introduce me.
Okay.
Brandy Jacola, how you doing?
Hi. I'm well, Bruce. How are you doing?
I am doing quite fine here in my hotel room. Yes, I'm Bruce Gibson, by the way.
Yes, he's Bruce Gibson.
Yes. So this is Live from the Edge. And so we had a short treks that came out today, which I'm liking this season. They're not waiting till night to do it. They do in the morning. So first thing I did this morning is I got up and I watched the short trek Ask Not.
Have you had too much bourbon?
Ask Me Not. No. It's called Ask Not. And I was surprised by several things, and one is that it's only 9 minutes and 35 seconds. That includes the end credits. So it's really like just shy of 9 minutes long. It's the shortest short trek, which means that this could be the shortest Live from the Edge.
Somehow I doubt that.
Well, we'll find out. Hey, chat. We have a live chat. This is the great thing about live. We have all these people in the live chat here on YouTube. And just so you know that we're doing this on that the night they came out, which, what's the date? What is the date today? The 13th?
Today's the 14th.
November 14th, 2019. And we're doing this. We usually do this at 9 p.m. and 6 p.m. Pacific. We're doing this now at 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Pacific so I can get over the bourbon and bacon. So I just want to welcome the chat. Thank you for joining us. Hi, chat. Wave.
Hi, chat.
How do you wave in chat rooms?
Well, they can see us waving. So
honestly, I think that they are more into themselves than listening to us.
Probably. They're having their own conversations. It's usually how it goes.
Yeah, it is. So how many times have you watched Ask Not?
Four times.
Wow, four times.
Yes. Yes.
I only watched it twice.
I watched it once, and then I watched it again, and then I watched it a third time and wrote some things down, and then I watched it a fourth time just to watch it again. So that was So it was three just watching it and one writing stuff down so that I wouldn't forget, because there's no guarantee that my brain will remember anything these days.
Right? I know. Mm-hmm. Well, when I watched it this morning, excuse me, when I watched it this morning, I'll edit that out. No, not. When I watched it this morning twice, I thought, well, I'll watch it again this evening before we get on live, but the Fresh Farm Fixins got in the way of that happening. So I didn't get to watch it a third time. So it's not fresh in my mind, but the Farm Fixins are whatever.
The bacon. The bacon. And bourbon.
Bacon. And bourbon.
Bacon.
And just so you know, anybody okay. who's listening, the bourbon wore off a while ago. This is just me naturally because I'm delirious that I've worked all day.
Yes, guys, you know this. You've been with us on this journey many, many times.
And if you've been on this journey with us many, many times, thank you so much. You obviously like this.
Yeah.
And those who don't listen, well, there's a reason.
Right.
So, okay, let's start off with this episode.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Christopher Hill. It's bacon! I love those commercials. Remember the dog? It's bacon.
Bacon, 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 bacon.
I've had so much bacon today. I've never had so much bacon at once in my life. So when this premiered, I watched it, which I've said. I was surprised that we didn't get a Star Trek intro like we usually do.
Yeah.
It went right into it.
Yeah, it did.
Did you like that or didn't bother you?
I didn't notice it until the second time. Mm. Honestly, I just didn't notice it.
Yeah, so. There was so it started off and then the title came up and it just said "Ask Not." It never said mm-hmm. Star Trek or Short Treks or anything like that.
Nope, just that. Oh. They were in a hurry.
Sorry, so Atong says, next time I'm in Vegas, there's a bacon bar on the north end.
Ooh, good to know.
Yes, just what I need, more bacon. So,
bacon.
Okay, I'm just going to jump ahead to something. Did you know that it was a training simulation? Did you figure that out?
I knew that it was a test of some kind. I figured it was probably a simulation, like the Kobayashi Maru that you didn't know was happening. So,
right.
Excuse me, it should be actually Kobayashi Maru, which is the correct way to pronounce that. But nobody does except the people in the simulation identifying themselves as the Kobayashi Maru. Don't believe me? Watch Wrath of Khan again. And so I figured I was watching it and I was thinking there is no way on this green earth that Pike is a mutineer. So this has to be a test because Dave even actually said to me at one point, because they were talking about the Tholians, and he said, can Tholians shapeshift? And I'm like, no.
I didn't think it was a Tholian, but I did wonder, is this a shapeshifter? That did cross my mind too, yeah.
Yeah, but I just thought, no, this is a test. This is a test.
I started to put that together. Yeah, I was thinking it was a test when it got to a point when they started yelling out regulations to each other.
I love that. I wrote them all down.
Oh my gosh, did you
there
really?
Was Starfleet Regulation 191, Article 14, Directive 010, and Regulation 208, Paragraph 2, which is only applicable when it's coming from an active captain. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I decided that was the third time through the episode. That's when I was writing stuff down because I wanted to know all that.
Yeah, I was when they were going regulation, blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, I bet she's a cadet. I'm like, I bet this is some kind of training thing, some test that she's not aware of or whatever. So Beta Artemis says to you, Brandy, to be fair, Pike was committing mutiny in season two when they ran off with Spock.
Yeah, that's fair to say, but it wasn't just him. It was the whole ship that was just like, okay. And besides that, there were some things going on where we knew that Section 31 was, you know, it was not going right there. There was weird stuff going on. So,
ooh, look anyway. What Patrick says. 191, Article 14 is from the Voyager episode Equidox.
That is not the first time that I've heard that. I saw that also online from several other people. I follow a lot of Trek people on Twitter. So I did actually I've heard that before. I haven't seen that episode in a while, but I believe everyone who has said that it was also used in that episode, because there are smarter people than me out
there.
Well,
I think it shows that the writers actually have watched Star Trek. Yeah, I heard some people say that that's not necessarily true. So when I was watching this episode, I thought it was really strange. Before I knew it was a test, I was like, okay. When they revealed it's Pike, I'm like, and they're like, oh, we can't get down to, you know, wherever, you know, to lock them up, you know, wherever they were.
The brig.
They said, you'll have to watch him. I'm like, really? They would put this captain in with a cadet in Inventory 2 on Starbase 28?
Nope. They sure wouldn't. That was a big signal that I'm like, no.
Right. No. So how'd you feel when they exposed it was Pike, though, as the mutineer?
Well, I knew that's what it was going to be. I mean, who else was it going to be?
Well, I don't know. It could have been...
because he was in Robert a Captain's April. Command uniform, and it was obviously a male, and he said before he unmasked him that, you know, no one would believe that this guy went bad, and I'm like, well, obviously it's Pike. Who else is it going to be?
Maybe it could have been Kirk.
No.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Chris Pine. William Shatner.
No, just don't. Just don't. Let's not go there.
Okay, we won't go there.
It's just a little too much crossover continuity that makes people's brains explode.
It could have been William Shatner playing Kirk's grandfather. Like James Kirk's grandfather.
Yeah, well, no, I figured you meant James Kirk. I didn't think you meant George or Sam. Well, it could
be George Kirk's father or grandfather.
Possibly.
How's your day?
You know, it's been pretty good. How's your day? Besides all the work, you know, you had bourbon and bacon.
Bourbon and bacon.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have, we've got the mutiny and all that. Oh, and it's Cadet Sidhu. We got to meet her.
Yes.
Now, the thing about Sidhu is that she, you know, at the end, she's now a member of the Enterprise crew. If they ever make this into a series, she may be a regular.
Which would be great.
I think it would be fantastic.
Yeah. She had her metal tested and was found to be strong.
She's like the Enterprise's Tilly because she's a cadet.
Yep. And I thought the badges were interesting, the cadet badge.
Isn't that like what Tilly had? Something like that?
It is, but it's been so long since I've seen her as a cadet that I had forgotten that the badges were different. And I went, oh, yeah, she's a cadet. Different badge so that everybody knows you're a cadet.
A married cadet.
A married cadet, and her husband's on the USS Bowman.
That's right. Who sent a distress signal because they were dead in the water.
Yeah.
Or so we were told.
Dun, dun, yeah. Dun. I find it very interesting that, because it was really starting to piece together. Like, I was suspicious immediately when it was Pike. And then I was even more suspicious when we find out that she and her husband survived a Tholian attack. And I just thought, oh, yeah, this is definitely a test. Absolutely. The only thing that I wasn't sure of is in what time period was this post discovery? It's confirmed later, obviously, with, you know, visual clues that it is definitely pre discovery because he's talking about war and that's, you know, basically what's about to happen.
Okay, yeah, that's true. I hadn't really thought about it.
Plus, number one's hair was, you know, is still straight.
What, it changed later? I don't know. Did it?
You broke up. I didn't hear you.
Oh, her hair changed later? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Remember in season two of Discovery that her hair is more curly?
Not really.
Wow.
I mean, I guess I do, but it's so subtle to me. I didn't notice that much.
It's not subtle
at all. I was a little curly there, wasn't it? Like, I saw, like, around her insignia.
It was slightly wavy.
Wavy.
But it wasn't curly.
Is there a difference between wavy and curly, really?
A big difference, yes.
Okay. I mean, I know there's a difference between curly and... What's the other stooge that was on before him?
Mo? Well,
no, the...
Shemp.
Yeah. Was her hair Shemp?
No. No. Go back and find some pictures. Her hair is very different in season two of Discovery.
I take your word for it. I'm not going to go back and look at
you,
pictures.
As well you should.
I probably will, though.
As well you should.
Because I'm just that kind of... Tricky.
Someone's going to post them. You know someone's going to post them.
True. It'd probably be you.
It probably will be.
Hey, so when the Tholians were mentioned, I'm not that much of a stickler for canon, but I still want to know if canon's violated, just because I'm curious. And then I want to be prepared when people start yelling and complaining about it. But when they were talking about the Tholians and they were talking like this history with the Tholians, I thought, okay, well, I know the first time we as an audience heard and saw the Tholians was in the Tholian web in the original series. And I thought, was in that episode, did they indicate that that was their first contact with the Tholians? So after I watched the two episodes, I have a TV in our bathroom. So I was in the shower. I was watching the Tholian web. I've never watched the Tholian web from the shower before. It's no
most
different.
Most people have not.
Right. It's no different than watching it when you're out of the shower. It's the same episode.
So it may be slightly harder to hear?
It was. I have to really turn up the volume.
Yeah.
And I can't sing because I have to listen. But I noticed that they don't say it's a first contact. And then Spock says a line later that indicates that they've had a history with Tholian. So there's no canon violation there. But I had to confirm that because I'm just that kind of person that has to know these things, right? Because we're Trek people. We do these things.
Yeah, we totally do. I actually had thought that maybe I ought to check into that. And I'm like, no, Bruce will do it.
So you did. You thought the same thing.
Well, I was pretty much 97.6% certain that it was not ever mentioned that that was the first contact with the Tholians. But I didn't know with 100% certainty. And, of course, you cleared that up.
Yes. And then when I get back home, which is going to be tomorrow, then the next day I'm going to take a shower and I'm going to watch season two to see if number one's hair is curly or Shemp. Or whatever. Anyway.
Oh, no. Now we have forever associated number one and Shemp. What have we done?
Think about this. We do not have a Star Trek term for hairstyles.
No, we don't.
The Star Trek universe needs a hairstyle term, and we came up with Shemp.
Shemp.
Shemp. Shemp. Oh, wait, I have Shemp. To write that down. Shemp. Shemp.
S-H-E-M-P.
Okay, I am sending this on Twitter later to the Star Trek writers.
Of course you are. I'm sure they'll be very grateful.
Well, they'll be...
I'm sure.
They'll ignore it like they do everything else I tweet to them. But yeah, there's like... I think I like the message, of course, of this episode. You know, that you have to be committed, even though, you know, you might have... personal commitments, you know, but this is your commitment to Starfleet. And sometimes, you know, you have to stand up to authority when they're imprisoned or taken out of command and you can't think about necessarily putting your loved ones first. And you have to pass those tests because that's the things you're going to be faced with in real missions or in war or whatever.
Yeah.
And she passed that test.
Yeah, she did. Well, and she even says, you know, my husband knew what he was signing up for when he joined Starfleet, and so did I. So she is, she was already committed to that. And I think that it was, I think the whole thing was actually a dirty trick. So it's no surprise that it was number one's idea. It was actually kind of cold and calculating to bring out her worst fears. But I understand why it was done that way, because they had to be sure. And that was the surest way to get to that answer.
Because you have to get to those raw emotions.
Yeah, absolutely. And see if that person can overcome them and to still do their duty or their duty.
And the chat thinks that's a little too much, is what they're saying.
Yeah, well, and he said, I mean, Pike himself said that it might seem extreme and inhumane. And yeah, it does look that way. But at the same time, what if this was a real situation? And they had to make her believe that it was a real situation. Was it extreme and inhumane when Wesley took that test at Starfleet? When he basically thought he had let another person die? Was that too extreme? I think we were all okay with that.
Well, so, that's because we don't like Wesley. So.
Oh, I beg to differ. I like Wesley. I'm
kidding. I don't have a problem with Wesley. Mr. Crusher. Hey, my cord is stuck. Oh, there we go. Gee, long cords. Well, yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, it does seem a bit excessive to just go and say, no, not cough, but to say, you know, oh, your husband's in trouble and da-da-da-da-da. And I mean, you would think that once Pike reveals that this was all just a simulation and that her husband's just fine, she'd go up and just slap him and say, how dare you lie to me about my husband like that and put me through that. But I mean, I'm just saying that's the reaction she might have in her personal situation. But I think they're also trained to be ready for that. And he tested her on that and she knows it's a test. And, you know, it's something that if you're in Starfleet, and especially if your spouse is also in Starfleet on another starship or starbase or whatever, this is a thought you have every day so that you're ready for it. And so for her to get that, even though it wasn't true, if anything, she's relieved it's not true when it's revealed. But while it's going on, I think, you know, she's been trained to deal with this. So when it's revealed that this isn't true, I think she's like, okay, that's fine. I've been trained to deal with that and I can handle it. I don't know. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, I know exactly what you're saying. And I think another thing is we have to stop judging people in the future by our weak standards. Right. Because, you know, this is supposed to be a better society. This is supposed to be humanity, you know, 2.0 or whatever you want to call it. They're supposed to be better than we are right now. And so we may see this as inhumane, but may I put up as an example, SEAL training. SEAL training is one of the hardest things that a human being can go through. And most people don't make it through. It also could be seen as extreme and inhumane, but the people that do make it through that are trained to handle anything. And I think that's what was being shown here, is that these Starfleet officers, cadets, all of them, they are being trained to withstand the most intense situations, their own personal horrors. They're being trained to still be able to do their duty when faced with their most personal horrors. And if you can, again, like Pike said, if you can come through that like you did today, you're going to be fine. There's nothing she can't handle now. She's been through the worst.
Yeah. And the chat's talking about this too. Exactly. But Christopher Littlefield, the guy who does postcards from the Edge, says it's not the same, Brandy.
Disagree.
She didn't know. She didn't know she was in the training.
You think Navy SEALs aren't put through a situation that they don't know, that they know they're being trained? They absolutely are being put in situations where they don't know they're being trained.
I don't know. The only SEAL training I know involves a ball on a nose, so I can't comment to that.
I'm just saying that is the rough life of serving in an organization like Starfleet, especially if there is a chance that you are going to be a ship that's in a war. And that is true, basically, if it's the time period we think it is, that is true of pretty much any ship in Starfleet at the beginning of the Klingon War. Everything's fair game.
Well, I mean, well, and you're right. I mean, come on. I mean, if you're signing up for Starfleet or the military even now, but, you know, particularly Starfleet, because that's what we're talking about here, it's like, you know, these people just didn't join some kind of club.
No.
You know, they know that, you know, this is not going to be easy. And, you know, I don't know if they go in it thinking they're going to be lied to in a training situation, but they just know that they have to be prepared that anything could happen and it's not going to be easy. And if this happens in a training simulation and they lie to you about your spouse and make you think that your spouse is in danger or dead or whatever, and then they reveal that that's not true, I think it's that, you know, they're like, well, I signed up for this and I knew it wasn't going to be easy and that didn't seem fair and I didn't like it. But you know what? That's how life is. And that's how I have to be tough to be in this. Mm-hmm. And I can't complain. Well, that wasn't very nice. Then you shouldn't be there.
Well,
you shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I probably can't handle it. I shouldn't be. I should be the Neelix of the ship, you know, because I don't know if I could handle all the training and stuff that they've gone through. I can just make some omelets or whatever, but, you know, or serve bacon.
And bourbon.
And bourbon. But, you know, it's not easy. And it is like, you know, B. Logue says here, Starship life is round the clock.
Mm-hmm. You have to be ready at any time for any situation. Absolutely any situation.
How many times have you watched Star Trek where it's like 3 a.m. and Picard gets a call from the bridge? Sorry to wake you up, sir. You know, it's like Picard doesn't go, let me go to sleep.
Again? Yeah. What now? Yeah, no. That's just the way they're trained.
Yeah. It's like being here on this network, on Trek FM. We've had to go through all kinds of training to be tough enough to handle the criticism that we get or not get. Just kidding.
That's all good.
That's all good. Okay, so let me ask you this. There's been three, I'm not going to go through them, the season one. I'll just focus on season two, Short Treks. Is this a favorite? Where does this go for you in ranking?
Well,
because we've had the trouble with Edward, or the trouble with Edward, trouble with or whatever. The trouble with Edward and Q&A.
Well, Q&A is still my favorite because Spock. This one ranks really high because lots of Pike and some Spock. I was not expecting that and super excited because you see these pairs of boots walking towards the transport pad. I'm like, oh, please make one of those be Spock. Please, 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 please. Yes! That was me. So
I have to admit, I was a little annoyed by that.
Why?
Just a little.
Why?
Because I almost feel like with these Short Treks with the whole Pike crew that they keep doing little like brief cameos. Like, you know, when we had the trouble with Edward, instead of it just being like someone taking, you know, their first command of the ship, she had to be escorted to the ship by Pike. You know, well, we were there, we got our cameo with Pike, you know? And then, like, at the end of Q&A, it's like, well, at the end, we got our cameo with Pike. And this one, well, at the end, we got our cameo with Number One and Spock. They weren't really necessary to the plot. I mean, I enjoy seeing them and all that, but I'm just saying, it's, I don't know. I just feel like now, if they were keep making Short Treks with this crew, I'd be like, okay, this one coming up is about Spock. I'm sure we'll see Number One and Pike at the end, you know?
Well, to be fair, they were transporting onto the Enterprise, and Number One is second in command, and Spock is the science officer, and engineering is part of the science division. So for me, especially since it was Number One's idea to run this test, it made sense to me for them to be there.
When is engineering part of the science division?
Well, if you look at her cadet badge, it was a science badge.
But she had a red uniform.
So?
Isn't science blue?
Not necessarily. Because engineering in Next Generation is gold.
Right.
Or sometimes red, depending on what day they feel like.
What day they feel like. Or what hairstyle they want to go with.
Mm-hmm.
What? Wait. So, okay. I'll have to go back and look at our badges, but you're saying it was a cadet science insignia badge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because to my knowledge, there isn't really an engineering badge.
Yeah, right. Liam just said it's the spiral thing. That's what I was just thinking. Isn't that the engineering badge? Has the little spiral?
Oh, you're right. You're right. But I swear it was a science one. I could be wrong. Do you want me to watch it again? Let me just bring it up right now.
Well, it's not very long, so sure.
I'm kidding. I'm mostly kidding. Yeah.
I think
but I could have sworn she was wearing a science badge.
Well, no, that would be cool, though, because, you know, the tunic color represents the division, and so does the insignia, with, you know, whatever symbol is in there. But it would be interesting if you could have those cross over for various reasons.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, engineering is a science-based thing.
Right, right. So, yeah. You could have scientists in engineering that wear an engineer, because they work in the engineering department, but they're part of the science division.
Yeah, exactly.
So I like
it
that.
It could all be an overarching thing.
I don't know. It fits into my head.
Isn't that really what matters the most? Is headcanon?
Oh, wait. Eric Reese says, Lieutenant Charlene Masters in the alternative factor was an engineer who wore science blue. I do remember that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, Anne Marie Dax does some engineering stuff sometimes. Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
And Wesley was like the master of every department.
All departments. All of them.
This episode brought to you by Wesley Crusher.
Let's not. Because there's too much Wesley hate, and it breaks my heart when that happens. So,
Hey, well, the chat just loves Wesley. Look at that. So there you go.
Oh, good. Good, good. It makes me happy because...
Are you watching the episode?
I'm trying to get a look at this dang badge. I swear it is the science badge. It's difficult to see on the small screen, but it looks like the science badge to me.
All right. Well, that's everyone's homework assignment. And you know what? Now that we're doing this... somebody in the chat is probably looking right now. So we may get an answer before we sign off.
Yeah. Somebody look at it on a bigger screen, please.
Yes, please.
Can I just say, one thing that I just really enjoy about Anson Mount as Captain Pike is this adorable half smile thing that he does where it's just, he did it the first time he came on the ship, and when he was, you know, verifying his identity, and he was basically teasing Tilly, he had this half smile thing going on, and it's just charming. It's just charming.
Yeah. I'm all about the half smile. Yeah.
Yep. Did you also notice that we saw dots when we went into engineering?
We saw... No, I missed that. Oh, no, no, you're
there
right.
There were dots in there.
I do remember seeing one. I do remember seeing one. There were a few.
I saw at least three.
Wow. Yeah, I love dots, which you know, we're going to get dots in the next one. In the animated one. We have two animated ones. One with dots and the tardigrade, and another one that is the little story from Burnham.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, the little girl.
The girl who made the stars.
Yeah. That's going to be fun. Hey.
Yes.
Which we're going to do. So those come out on December 12th, which is a Thursday. Mm-hmm. But I have yet another work commitment that I think involves bourbon. Seriously.
And bacon?
Probably not bacon.
Oh, man.
But I'll do bacon that morning. So anyway, we're not going to do the live show on December 12th when those two short treks come out. We're going to do it the next night on Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Yes. And we're going to do it half smiled throughout. So, just so you know, I think we're going to do that at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, a regular time, like we've done before.
Yeah, okay. That is my plan. I was just waiting to see if that was your plan.
Yeah, I think that's my
whether
plan.
That was something.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So, yeah.
So, we got that out
so,
there.
So, yeah, next one, Friday.
Friday.
Not Thursday. Friday the 13th. December 13th.
Two short tracks to talk about. So any other thoughts or anything you want to, I really don't have that much to talk about because it was such a short episode. I thought the actress did really well. I liked her.
Yeah. Her name is Amrit Kaur. I hope I pronounced that right. And if there is a Pike series, I'd love to see her again. I did enjoy that she kind of goes through this whole thing where she's just like, she's discombobulated because it's Captain Pike, and that's the last person she expected to be seeing as the mutineer, which is probably the best choice they could have made in that regard, because he's everybody's darling. And, once he's, trying to leave, she's just like, oh, hell no. She just becomes all steel, basically. She's like, nope, you are not leaving here. You are not. So I appreciated her very much. Would like to see her again. She's got fabulous hair, and I'm jealous of it. I would also like to note that the music was done by a lady, Andrea Datsman.
Oh, I didn't even look at the music credits at the end.
Yeah. Well, I did. I watched all the credits because people worked on this show, and they deserve for me to see their names. So I always watch credits of things. And also written by what I think is a lady, judging by the name, I could be assuming, but Kalinda Vasquez was the writer. And I'm going to make an assumption that that's a female. So yay. So, and I just made a sound on my mic that's going to sound terrible in the recording.
That's okay. There's a lot of things about this recording that aren't going to be all that great. Well, yes. Scant seems to be the popular subject of the chat for some reason.
They're very comfortable. That's what I hear. That they are very comfortable, and let's make them have a comeback.
I would wear Scant. I mean, I'm not saying like just at like STLV or something. Like I would wear a Scant if it was like the thing. Like in the summer. Mm-hmm. Like I would wear, like, because like the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But then, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm always in pants.
Yeah, well, honestly, I prefer pants because then nobody is going to care whether I shaved my legs, so.
That's the thing in my house now, because I have two teenage daughters, and sometimes we get, and it's like, in the summer, like, it's not even just about skirts or dresses or what. I mean, it's like, we'll be like, oh, honey, it's hot outside. We're going to be outside for a while. You should probably put shorts on. I can't. Why not? I haven't shaved my legs.
Well, and see, that's one of those societal patriarchy things that I think really just needs to go to the wayside, because nobody should care if a woman has shaved legs, frankly.
Oh, I care.
Well, of course you do. But, there we are.
When we get off air, I'll tell you a story from college. How's that?
Okay. I can tell you a couple of stories too about a guy friend of mine. So
okay, we'll do that later. And everybody's probably going to be like, "Well, no, do it now."
No,
because you know what? When you put something on the internet, it lasts forever. And I don't want these stories out there in the public forever. They will haunt. They haunt me internally. Now, but I don't want them publicly haunting me.
That is fair.
So let me ask you, Brandy, are your legs shaved right now?
Sort of.
Okay. That sort of is fine in my book. Sort of is
sure.
fine.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that my legs are not shaved right now, and they've never been shaved. I've never shaved my legs.
Mm.
I will put that out in the public forever.
Well, I don't think you're in a minority there. So.
Well, that's true. You know what? There's a high standard when it comes to Trek FM shows.
Mm.
But not this one.
Mm-mm.
I don't think there's been a Trek FM show that talks about shaving legs.
No,
or about hairstyles that are curly.
Again, my fault. Straight. Yeah.
No, it's my fault because I just continue talking about them. I just don't let them go.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's why I love you, Bruce, is that you just refuse to let it go.
I'm not singing.
Mm-mm. That's tenacity. Mm-mm. Tenacity. I didn't want you to sing. That was not an invitation.
Okay, good. Michael Giacchino, yes, has been supervising the music. They've mentioned that in the chat. I've told my story how I asked him to write me a song, right? I mentioned that before in a previous episode. All right. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you have.
Yes. But but he asked me if I had my checkbook, and I said no. And he goes, well, I can't write you one.
Well, that's his work. You don't go into other people's work and just ask them to do stuff for you for free.
Look, I do a lot of stuff at my work that's not on my job description. I feel like I'm doing for free. Look, how long...
Yes, but...
It wouldn't
but
take
is that
much
from somebody off the street coming in and asking you to do that?
No, but I will say, look, I think, you know, it wouldn't have taken him long to write me just a short little song about it for me. That's all. And even though it's free, it's like, you know what? Do something for a fan. You know, do something for a fan.
Do you have any idea what it takes to write a piece of music?
No, because I don't write music.
There you go.
But this guy's
then
a genius.
Don't assume that it wouldn't take very long for him to write you some little something.
I would have paid him if I had a checkbook. I really would have. Or if he could have taken credit cards, I would have done it, but I didn't have anything. So it's his loss and my loss together.
Mm. Okay. That's fair.
Are we done?
You know, I think we are.
We are? Is there anything else anybody wants to talk about in the chat? It doesn't have to be Star Trek. It can be anything. I saw The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, Disney me too. Plus. Me too. And the funny thing is that I knew so little about it that I'm just like, that guy's voice sounds so familiar. Why does that guy's voice sound so familiar? And then, of course, you know, I had to look it up and I'm like, oh, Pedro Pascal, of course.
Yes. Yeah, I watched it.
Enjoyed seeing.
Wait, who did you enjoy seeing? What?
I enjoyed seeing some weird gets, like Brian Posehn as the speeder driver. That made me laugh.
I tweeted to him about that because he tweeted that morning. I got up early in the morning to watch it because I had a feeling Disney Plus might have technical issues because of traffic, which they did. Which is funny because they didn't anticipate that, but I did. So
yeah, so did like everybody else. Right. Everybody else.
So I got up.
Everybody
I got up
else.
Real early and watched it. And it was shorter than I thought. Thought it was going to be a full hour, but it was only 38 minutes. So then I watched it again. But anyway, and then that's when I started having problems after that. But yeah, that dude, see, I call him dude. That dude who's driving the speeder, the land speeder, or whatever. I saw him tweet that morning that he was so excited to see himself in Star Wars. And I tweeted him back and I said, yeah, I saw you too. I literally said out loud, it's that dude.
Yeah, basically, basically I turned to Dave and I said, is that Posehn? And he says, yeah, I think that's Posehn. And I'm like, I'm looking it up. I got to know for sure. Yep, that's Posehn. He was also in both Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't know his name. I just knew he was that dude.
Well, I knew his name.
Yeah, why is there no continue watching on Disney Plus? I agree with you.
Haven't they been beta testing this in the Netherlands for like 2 months? What the heck, Disney?
I know. I don't know.
Do you not have people who actually have touch with reality? You know, like real people that don't just sit in a boardroom or an office all day? I mean, people who actually, you know.
But
like,
yeah, B-Log brought up in the chat because it's like my daughters have even complained because they'll watch an episode of something on Disney Plus, and then they come back later and they have to go and find that series again. It's not in any kind of like, here's what you were previously watching. They have to go find the series. And then when they find it, it says to hit play, and they hit play thinking the next episode that they're going to watch will pop up. No, it starts at the first episode. Like they never were in there before. And then they have to go, well, wait, which episode did I land? They're going to fix that. We know it's eventually. Why are we about this? We got to be talking. Oh, wait. So the bourbon bacon and the fresh farm fixins thing, they had a lady there talking about CBS All Access.
Oh, really?
Yes. And how she thinks they're doing it right because it's a combination of both video on demand and live. So you have your Netflix type experience by having all this on-demand content, but you have the live experience of like sports and news. And she thinks that's going to be very successful for them. Anyway, I'm just bringing that up because that's more related to what we're here for. So, Brandy, when people want to find you online, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at BrandyWine12. Brandy is with an I. 12 is a number. And you can also find me doing this show, which you're already watching. And you can find me lurking in the Babel Conference like a shark just beneath the water. And also, I do a podcast with my husband, Dave, called the Dark Corner Podcast, which you can find at darkcornerpodcast.com. There are swears, so not for the children or people who don't like swears. And we just look at stuff from a darker point of view.
Do you do it with the lights off to make it even darker?
Yeah, sure. It gives an ambiance that comes through in the recording.
Yes. And you can find me on Twitter at Admiral_Rex and on the Star Wars Report, talking Star Wars, and on Literary Treks, the official Star Trek books and comics podcast here on the Trek FM network. Now we have to do our closing. And we can ask the chat to come up with how they want Brandy to read the closing for tonight.
Yep. Give me some ideas, guys. And if you don't have any ideas, I have one that's my fallback.
Oh. So. Yeah. Oh. Well, now I want to know what that is.
Well, depends.
Well, we're waiting to see if anybody has anything. Anything?
Sorry, I'm laughing at Liam's suggestion.
Wait, I didn't see that. Oh, yes. That would work.
Do it as you.
As a bourbon
bacon and bacon and barbecue. Bourbon.
Bourbon and bacon fueled Bruce. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that.
I don't know that anyone else would.
What? You could just move your mouth, move your lips, and then I'll read it, and it looks like you're saying it as me. And people will be like, wow, she sounds just like him.
No, we're not doing that. I'm not just a puppet.
Okay, well, do the bourbon and bacon fuel Bruce, or what's your fallback?
Oh, my fallback was doing it like I am quoting all of the Starfleet regulations and articles.
I actually like that. That's good. Okay, actually, you could do that plus the bourbon bacon fuel Bruce at the same time. Ooh.
I don't know if I can
I like
handle all that.
Do your fallback, fall guy.
Okay. Oh, nice. Nice. I'm one of the few people who remembers that show. Okay. Now, according to a Starfleet Regulation 206, Article 7, you need to check out our Discovery coverage on, you know, throughout the week when it happens. Because obviously, we're going to be here Friday, next time on Friday the 13th, December, at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. According to Article 8 of that same regulation, commentary. I don't think we're doing commentaries for the short treks. Correct me if I'm wrong. However, according to Article 10, we are going to be discussing feedback on Postcards from the Edge, and our good friend Christopher D. Littlefield. Sorry, Chris. Christopher D. Littlefield with alliteration. Will collect your feedback for that. It's that's why I call him Chris. And you'll find all of those in the main feed for The Edge and the Trek FM Master feed, according to Directive 015. We would love to hear your thoughts on Discovery, but only if you are following Article 10, Part 2. And that means that you need to come to the Babel Conference, which is our listeners group on Facebook. And that's where Chris Littlefield is going to collect your feedback for Postcards from the Edge. You can also find us on Twitter at Trek FM, but only if you're following Directive 058 and you are an active captain. Trek FM at Trek FM, or send us an email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose the Edge, but only if you know the most obscure Starfleet regulations, especially the directives that no one seems to ever quote until, you know, you're having a battle with a supposedly mutinying captain. We would like to thank our cadet associate producers, and they are as follows. All of them have passed their training tests, by the way. Norman Selau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Paleo, Lisa Slack, Shoab Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Mallett, Chris Trabuzio, and Brian Malosh. And finally, the most important Starfleet regulation of all, if you want to become one of those cadet associate producers and help keep all of our shows going, you need to visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details. I am done quoting things at you. You guys need to go read those regulations again.
Help! I was the prisoner.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I think
what were you doing when I was doing that? Because I can't see you.
I was doing this. I had my hands together. I had my wrist together like it was handcuffed, like Pike.
I see.
So, and then because I insulted Christopher Christopher D. Littlefield with his long name, then I put in the chat that I'm Brewstifer R. Gibsonfield. So, that's my new name. That's my handle on Twitter too.
You know, here's the thing. Somebody in Utah is going to go, "Oh, Brewstifer, that's a great name." I'm not kidding. We get the weirdest freaking names here.
You never know. Oh, Christopher says that Brewstifer is Bruce's and his love child. And Liam says it's the name of Chris's lizard baby.
Oh. Yeah, and Chris says it sounds like a Cats character. No, we are not bringing cats into this. No.
Can I sing Cats?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right.
No, do you know why? Because I detest that show with every fiber of my being.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because it's terrible. I've seen it twice. I've had to sit through that garbage twice.
Wait, you hate it that much you saw it a second time? Why did you see it twice?
The second time that I saw it, it was because a dear friend of mine was in it and I was supporting her. Okay?
Oh.
And to be fair, they did truncate the show because the show is nonsense. It is nonsense because it is loosely based on a bunch of T.S. Eliot poems. There is no story there because it was based on poems. Okay, that was my cat's rant. I am done.
So you're going to see the movie?
Mm-mm. I find that visually horrifying in so many ways.
Excuse me. A lot of people do. I mean, I did too. My kids, when they saw it, they were freaked out about it.
It's just wrong. Just wrong. And so, just stop it, Christopher D. Littlefield. I'm not going to talk about Sondheim.
This show just keeps going different directions.
See, it was longer than you thought it was going to be.
I know. It's way too long. It's better when we do a full episode, like an hour discovery, because we stay on topic. We're just like blabbing about anything now.
Yeah,
I'm just picturing somebody in their car listening to the audio podcast, and when I said we're just blabbing about stuff, they're nodding their head. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get it on track. That's exactly. That is not what you guys come here for. If you came here for coherent discussion, you know you're in the wrong place.
Right. Because let me just point out something here. We've got the show called Live from the Edge, and then there's the main show called The Edge. Do you know why? Because that's the show where they actually talk intelligently about this stuff.
And have editing.
Yes. And they have had time to think about it. We don't have time to think about anything.
Nope.
I don't even know what I'm going to have for breakfast tomorrow, but it will not involve bacon. I can tell you that.
I've had enough
bacon to last me a week at least.
All right. Bacon overdose.
Although I saw at the Indianapolis airport, they have a Chick-fil-A, so I might get a chicken biscuit tomorrow. That sounds really good to me.
All right, then.
Hey, yeah, Liam, have you heard of the Edge main show?
I have.
Can we talk about the main show? I haven't listened to that in a while. Can we talk about the main show?
No. Okay. We don't have time.
Okay. All right. I was just going to talk about the hosts, but, you know.
Yeah.
They're a whole nother breed.
Sure. All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to sign off and live long and prosper.
Keep calm and disco on.